This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 211, for the weekend of November 7th to November 9th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to a Backseat Box Office, first show of November 2014. How's it going, Art?
It's going pretty good. Still tired, still working crazy overtime, still just muddling through.
Yes. So I have an announcement to make, and this is something that we've kind of maybe alluded to, hinted at in the last couple shows. We are going to end the games portion of this show. We're in over 200 episodes of Backseat Box Office. And even though the core concept of this show was the hosts and the listeners in the beginning sending what they thought would be the top five movies at the box office. And then once, right around the time when I came aboard and then when Art came aboard, we started picking independent movies, and we started having the contest for the gift card. But we're kind of, there's some work involved, and I think Art and I, we kind of want to simplify things. We didn't really get, you know, maybe we did get a little tired of it, but the, you know, the preparation and getting everything together. And we really haven't had any, you know, more people. I think we have like two or three people outside of the hosts that are participating. So thank you so much to the people that continue to participate or have participated in the past. I know that I'm forgetting people, but Kugron, Tad, BD, Father Beast, among others. Oh, Nick. Mm-hmm. And Scuba Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for everyone that participated. But I think that, you know, we're going to try doing something a little bit different. We're probably going to get a little more close to what Backseat Producers is like, that we're going to be talking more about movies. We're not going to be doing full-on reviews of one movie. We're basically just eliminating the games portions of the show. So we're still going to talk about the previous weekend as far as box office results. We're still going to talk about movies that are coming out in new release. We're still going to share movies that we've watched and do quick little, you know, maybe what you might call backseat quickies type reviews of movies that we've watched. Rarely Art and I watch a movie together, maybe something that could be something we do in the future. And we're still going to talk about news, but we're just going to be ending the games.
Yes.
Okay. So, that is enough of the announcement. So, let's go to how the box office did that last week. And this is really strange, and maybe it just because it was, you know, Halloween weekend. So, for the weekend of October 31st through November 2nd, here is the top five movies in the box office. Number one, we have Ouija, which came in at $10.7 million. We have a new release, Nightcrawler, came in at $10.4 million. We have Fury at $8.8 million. We have Gone Girl at $8.5 million. And at number five, Book of Life, won't go away.
Mm-hmm.
It is resurrecting itself every week with $8.2 million. And there's your top five. Yeah, 10.7 for number one. And there's one movie, Fury, that was in over 3,000 theaters, which obviously is low. Maybe we're in the doldrums. Who knows? Art, what do you think?
Yeah, this was pretty surprising. I looked at it, you know, and Nightcrawler really surprised me. I didn't even put it on my list last time. Actually, this list is... Oh, that's weird. Okay. So I'm looking at my list for 2 weeks ago because I only emailed you my list from last week.
Okay.
This is my list from 2 weeks ago, except Nightcrawler is in the John Wick spot.
Okay.
That is weird. Now I have to go look back at what happened 2 weeks ago. But neither here nor there. Nightcrawler opening, widening up or whatever. I remember we talked about it because I had watched the trailer. And it looked really interesting. I did not think it would perform this well, you know, when it got out here. So it looks like a very interesting movie, very dark. I don't usually go in for that sort of thing, but it definitely piqued my interest. I think it's something Brittany would probably like a lot.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing a lot of previews for this one. All I know is got Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
I saw none. The only one the only trailer I saw was the one I saw when I was specifically on YouTube looking at trailers.
Right.
I saw none on the TV.
Interesting. Okay, so that was box office results. So now let's talk about what's coming out in the theaters this week. Mm-hmm. So Art, why don't you talk about one of two movies coming out wide release this week?
I will. Okay, so I am going to talk about Big Hero 6. We have been talking about this movie, I'd probably say incessantly, over the last few weeks.
Well, it's Marvel and Pixar, so...
It kind of is.
It's
and,
on double radar.
Right, yeah. Brittany and Aubrey and me are all very excited to see this movie. So that may be something that we do this weekend. But let's go into the facts. This is currently 88% on the tomato meter, 65 fresh reviews, 9 rotten. So somebody needs to talk to those 9 people. 98% want to see it, only out of 27,442 user ratings. That number seems a little low for as much hype as this movie is getting. So I don't know what that says about the users on Rotten Tomatoes. So here we go. With all the heart and humor audiences expect from Walt Disney Animation Studios, Big Hero 6 is an action-packed comedy adventure about robotics prodigy Hiro Hamada, who learns to harness his genius thanks to his brilliant brother Tadashi and their like-minded friends. Adrenaline junkie Gogo Tamago, Meat Nick Wasabi, Chemistry Whiz Honey Lemon, and Fanboy Fred, when a devastating turn of events catapults them into the midst of a dangerous plot unfolding in the streets of San Francisco, Hiro turns to his closest companion, a robot named Baymax, and transforms the group into a band of high-tech heroes determined to solve the mystery. Rated PG-13 for action and peril, some rude humor, and thematic elements. Directed by Don Hall and Chris Williams. Written by Don Hall, Jordan Roberts, Robert Byrd, Duncan Relu, and Paul Briggs. 1 hour and 33 minutes. This is Ryan Potter, Scott Adsit, TJ Miller, Jamie Chung, Genesis Rodriguez, Damon Wayans Jr., Daniel Henney, Maya Rudolph, Alan Tudyk, and James Cromwell. Okay, well, I recognize a couple of those names.
Interesting that the movie is set in San Francisco, which is supposed to be a fusion between Tokyo and San Francisco.
I totally missed that. Yeah. I read it as San Francisco. Nice.
They want to be careful with the overseas markets, so they didn't want to put it in Tokyo. But they go do that, but they name one of the characters Wasabi. So I don't know I don't know why they keep doing that. it's like having a Latino character called Jalapeno.
I don't know that I would have a problem with that.
I'm just bemoaning lack of imagination. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. And those are names. I mean, how, when it gets translated, how will they change that, you know?
I am very excited for this movie. And interesting, I found an article about that Pixar, I guess, before they started production, was coming, they created a new version of the rendering software that they used for this movie. And... I guess they were going to be using some new technology that they weren't sure was going to work. So they actually had two teams creating a alpha version, or, you know, the what basically was going to be the cool one, and then they had a backup one because they weren't sure if it was going to work. But I guess that a decision was made somewhere during the production that, you know, we're spending too much money developing two when we only need one.
Right.
So I, you know, it's funny how those things work out. And we're definitely excited, and I definitely think, or I'm trying to figure out from an analysis standpoint, can Baymax be bigger than Olaf was last year? Because he's definitely cute as heck in this movie, just off the trailer.
Right.
And this, you know, it looks like another boy and his robot movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, yeah, I think you have to have the girls locked into this, and it's not a musical. So I don't know if Olaf is still going to be bigger than Baymax. I want Baymax to be bigger than Olaf, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
No, I don't see it being that big. Mm-hmm. I think it will do well. I think Frozen was definitely bigger with the girl set than the boy set, so mm-hmm. it's still going to be pretty big. But I think, I don't know, I just think it seems to me, this is just my perspective, that little boys are not as fanatical as little girls.
Really? Okay.
I think so. I mean, okay. You know, I think a boy goes and watches a movie, and he wants to get toys, and he wants to reimagine, he wants to play. I think the girl wants to go see the movie again.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's part of what drove it, or wants to go see the movie again with her friends. You know, oh, I didn't get to see it with this friend last time, I'm going to go back to the movie. I don't know. And this is definitely going to have more geek appeal. So it'll be interesting to see how they finish out with each other. Frozen, I think it's very well. That's my where I think it's going to all shake out.
Yeah, well, Box Office Mojo thinks that both these movies are going to go above $60 million.
Okay.
And this is probably one of the biggest showdowns between two movies in the same weekend that we're probably going to see for a while. So yeah.
Oh, I'm giving this as far as this over. I'm going to go with this over Interstellar.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, it might just be numbers because I don't know how long Interstellar is. We're going to get to that in just a second, but you know,
we will.
With Big Hero 6 being around 90 minutes, they're going to be able to do more showings.
They're going to be able to do more showings, and it's currently listed as on more screens, about 200 more.
Yeah. All right. So if that was it for Big Hero 6, we can move to the next movie.
Yes, we can.
Okay, Interstellar. Full disclosure, I am probably the biggest Christopher Nolan fanboy on this podcast, not if you compare me to Tony, I think, but I am really excited about Interstellar. So let's talk about Interstellar. Currently 71%. Now, Big Hero 6 is 88%, but I ain't mad about that. They can both be good. Okay, 71% out of 175 reviews, 125 fresh, 50 rotten. And out of the audience, 99% want to see it at about, you know, 71,833 people voted. So here's the description. But don't blink. With our time on Earth coming to an end, a team of explorers undertakes the most important mission in human history, traveling beyond this galaxy to discover whether mankind has a future among the stars. Yep, that's it. PG-13 for some intense, perilous action and brief, strong language. This is action and adventure and science fiction and fantasy, written and directed by Christopher Nolan, also co-written by his brother, Jonathan Nolan. The runtime, we're just going to say almost two Big Hero 6s. 2 hours and 49 minutes. So ye of weak bladder need not apply.
Right.
The cast, Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Jessica Chastain, Casey Affleck, lesser known Wes Bentley, Topher Grace from That 70s Show, Bill Irwin, mm-hmm. John Lithgow, Michael Caine, I think, is kind of like Ratzenberger. I think he's been in every, well, I don't know about every, but he's, it seems like he's the, you know, he's penciled in to every Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Foy as young Murph and Ellen Burstyn as old Murph. So there is a little, there's a thing going on, because if you look at the credits, we have three different actors with the same name, same character name. Mackenzie Foy as young Murph, Jessica Chastain as Murph, and Ellen Burstyn as old Murph.
Interesting.
So this is a very realistic take on kind of like something that Firefly brought up, that all the resources get used up from the Earth and we have to find someone somewhere else to live. The reviews have not been... I'm going to go there. Interstellar for this movie.
Right.
So we will see. There hasn't been a Christopher Nolan movie that I have not enjoyed. I think I've watched Inception more than any other Christopher Nolan, and it's getting to the point where I think I've watched that almost as much as A New Hope. So I'm excited about this one. And there's kind of a big deal about the IMAX. Now, when you have almost a 3-hour IMAX movie, there's viral pictures going around about the print is as big as a coffee table.
Interesting.
And you can go to the Interstellar website if you are concerned about seeing a real IMAX, because I guess there's not all IMAXs are created equal, and they want you to see the 70mm.
Right, IMAX. Yeah, instead of the digital.
And Christopher Nolan is one of those guys out in the forefront about that he hates digital projection.
Right.
And so much so that you were able to see Interstellar starting last Tuesday if you saw the IMAX one, the non-digital one.
Oh. Yeah, I remember us talking about that, and I've just been so busy I didn't even cross my mind to go look.
Yeah, so the first comparison, this movie is 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I was thinking along those lines, mm-hmm. and I think this will be a movie that is critically acclaimed, that does well, but it's not going to do fantastic because it's so long, and I think it's going to be a big step up from what he did with Inception. Because there were so many people who walked out of reception and just said, "What happened?" I'm like,
yeah.
You needed to be paying attention.
Like, I feel like watching a Christopher Nolan movie that he is too smart for Hollywood.
I don't agree with that statement. I think that you just need to be paying attention. You need to realize when you walk into that theater, pay attention. You're not just, this isn't just some popcorn action flick. You are here to experience something, so experience it, pay attention. That's, you know, I don't know, because like I knew going into Inception that it had some twists and some turns, and so I paid attention and I was never lost in that entire movie. And you know, I went with some people, and there were people who knew what they were going into, paid attention, were not lost. There were people who showed up all willy-nilly and they're like, "I don't get it." I'm like, "What do you mean you don't get it? You weren't paying attention." It's like, "Well, what, it was this." I'm like, "No, you forgot about this." "Oh yeah." You know, and you gotta point it out to them because they weren't paying attention. And I think that's going to be the problem. There's going to be two people showing up at this movie just wanting to see some action-y space movie that's the latest thing, and they're going to be like, "What is this really about?" I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but I think this is going to be a really good movie from what I've seen. I've seen the trailer, and I'm very interested.
So, yeah, I'm gonna try. I know that the kids are chomping at the bit to see Big Hero 6, but I gotta try to catch the IMAX because it's only a couple blocks away. So I'll be reporting back, you know, next week. But so yeah, Interstellar, and that will conclude the two movies that are coming out wide release this weekend. So now.
I wanted to, since we are, you know, changing things up here a little bit, I did want to mention one other movie that caught my eye, something I would have thrown into the arts house if we were still doing that.
Okay.
There is a movie, Merry Friggin' Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you saw this, you heard about this, you know, it is
Think I mentioned this movie before.
Okay,
when talking about Robin Williams, but go ahead.
Okay, then I must have slipped because I do not remember talking about this, but I caught my eye. Joe McHale, Robin Williams. Boyd and his family are forced to spend a dreaded Christmas at his parents' house with his eccentric father that he has been avoiding for years. When he realizes that he left his son's gifts at home, Boyd and his father must hit the road in a blizzard to retrieve the gifts before sunrise to save Christmas. So it just looks like a classic father-son comedy, and probably to be one of Robin Williams' last movies. And that it's getting such a limited release has me a little worried, but I just wanted to throw that out there. So
I think you shouldn't worry about it being in a limited release, because it's, you know, it's being released in advance of probably what the Christmas movie season is. So they're probably just going to do four or five screens, and then it should be in wide release in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. I found out about this movie because a friend of the family, a very distant friend of the family, is Wendy McClendon Covey, who's in this movie, who she's on Meet the Goldbergs. She plays the mom Bev on Meet the Goldbergs. I guess she I think she might be Robin Williams' wife or McHale's wife. I don't know which.
Oh, okay.
And then, so I saw that she was in a movie with Robin Williams, and then I found out about it. But I didn't realize it was out so early. So yeah, no.
It does feel a little early.
Christmas.
I mean, it is November. People are starting to, you know, Christmas is in the stores. So I guess it's not terribly, terribly early. Brittany was watching the Curious George Christmas movie.
Okay.
And I'm like, Christmas already? She's like, it's November. I'm like, yeah, I guess. And it was really cold today. And the wind was a blowing. So I guess, yeah. But anyway, so I want to throw that in there. So let's move on.
All right. So now we just finished talking about movies coming on release. Now is the time where we talked about movies that we've watched. So I'm going to sit back, Art, because I hear that you've been watching a lot of stuff in the past 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. It blew up around here. Okay, so first I'm going to start off with Looper. Okay, I finally watched Looper. Have you seen Looper?
Yes, I own Looper. Go ahead.
Oh, you own Looper. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it. I really did. But I feel like the time travel doesn't hold up.
Okay, and why do you say that?
All right, so we're just going to spoil the hell out of this, because this movie's been out, like, you know, a few years at this point. It was 2 years at least?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first loop, when, you know, they're going through, they're showing you what's going on, and he comes back, and he doesn't shoot himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, and he falls off the building, and then he doesn't wake up, but they take us back to the loop where he does shoot himself, and they completely lost me. So then they follow his story, and so I'm assuming that they're following the story of the man who came back, and the movie is actually the story of the man who missed.
Okay, now.
But then you have an issue of one missed and one didn't. So one of those timelines doesn't exist anymore.
Now, it's been a while. I don't think I've opened it since I bought it, and I went to go see it in the theater.
Okay.
So now I'm going to have to watch it again so I know what you're talking about. But obviously I missed that. A thing.
Right. And then there's the whole the time travel thing of, okay, so we get to the point, let's talk about the end of the movie. The end of the movie, he sees the road that has led to what caused him to be in the place where he is, and he decides to shoot himself, the young version, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he shoots himself, and then Bruce Willis, who's looking to kill the kid, vanishes. But that's not really what would happen, because if he shot himself there, Bruce Willis would have never been there in the first place, never having led them to the place where they are standing now.
That's not necessarily true, because we don't know. I think it's been a while, but we don't necessarily. Okay. I mean, because if something happens, you don't necessarily know exactly the ramifications of what of what's going to happen or what the consequences of the action is going to be.
Right, right. I know, I understand that, but just within the context of the movie, once he kills himself and saves that boy never becomes the terror that starts closing all the loops that causes, you know, what's his name's wife to be killed, that causes him to go on this rampage to kill these children to stop that from happening in the first place, because he's hoping that by killing that guy, he then, you know, whatever, would have more time with his wife.
Right.
But, you know, it just got really sloppy and messy. I really liked the movie. I just feel like the time travel didn't hold together. I enjoyed the movie. I really did. I liked it. It made me think. It was provocative. I just feel like in hindsight, I was like, I felt like it was a little sloppy.
Yeah, there's only one real spoiler, and that's the character of the kid. I don't think you're spoiling anything, you know, anything by, because they went through a lot of trouble to make sure that there was no reference to that, the child in the trailer, because he's like the big reveal of the movie. I enjoyed it. I tend to turn my brain off when it comes to time travel or like we were just talking about Inception. I was definitely lost at points in Inception, and it never really clicked until I watched it for like the second or third time. You know, there's one thing that really bugged me about Looper is all of the attention to visually beat us over the head that Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt look like each other. I mean, so much so that he had to stand the same way. He had to have the same smirk on his face. I could have just, you know, once you're about 10, 15 minutes into the movie, okay, you got to stop trying so hard, you know?
Okay, that didn't bother me at all. That made me, I don't know. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed how much they went into that. And a lot of the same, there were a number of times where there were things that were kind of like throwaway things that were done very similarly. And no, it didn't bother me. I really enjoyed it. And it made Joseph Gordon-Levitt go up another notch in my estimation. Brittany watched it with me, and she enjoyed it too. She enjoyed it, you know, as far as like a good action movie with good actors and good acting and, you know, I'm looking for a word and I can't find it, so I'm just going to say a good story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was motivating. It was interesting. It was interesting. It caught her. It held her interest. That is Brittany's biggest problem. You have to catch her interest and you have to hold it. And it's true. It's just true. Because it's not, she doesn't watch action movies. She doesn't watch, you know, a lot of sci-fi or, you know, things that I would watch. And so they really have to be compelling is the word I was looking for. It was compelling. And so it held on to her. So she enjoyed it and we watched it together.
Yeah, I enjoyed the huge Terminator callback when he goes into, at the end of the movie, when Bruce Willis basically goes into the Jeff Daniels hideout or whatever and basically just kills everybody.
Right, right.
Reminded me of the police station from Terminator.
Yes. Yeah. I did think the one screw up, I thought that was going to turn out to be a young Jeff Daniels, and that's why he was keeping him around.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, is this, that's what I kept thinking. I'm like, is this guy, did he pull himself in? And that's why he's keeping an eye on him. but then when he smashed his hand, I was like, oh no, that's probably not the case then.
Right.
So that was one thing I watched. We watched it was another kids movie, in the vein of, Postman Pat. And it is called Thunder and the Magical Mystery House, something along those lines. It is about a cat who gets abandoned and ends up at this old magician's house and all the hijinks that ensue. And Aubrey has thoroughly fallen in love with this movie. I've watched it twice. It is entertaining. It is a higher quality animation than a lot of these direct-to-video things. It's not quite, you know, theater release quality, but it is really, really good. So that was, it was really enjoyable. It had a lot of cute little characters in it. The voice acting was well done. The story was well told. It held together very well, and I enjoyed that. And then the other thing I did watch, I did go see Book of Life. We, as a whole family, got up early, went out to the movies, and saw it. Everybody loved it. It was so good. There was Zoe Saldana's character had a little pet pig, and Aubrey was immediately having an imaginary pet pig running around. Brittany absolutely loved it. We got out of the theater, we looked at each other, I'm like, so what did you think? She's like, I loved it. I was like, me too. So it was really good. I was happy with the route that they took. You know, you had these two people vying for one woman's affections, and you know, one is the down to earth kind of good guy, and the other one is your typical full of himself, you know, you're worried that he might be more of a jackass than he is, and it doesn't go down that path. And I really enjoyed it a lot. I would recommend it.
Okay.
And that's just movies. So I am currently one show behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and one show behind on Star Wars Rebels. And I'm trying to think, what else have I watched? I don't think I've watched any. I'm watching Biggest Loser again.
Oh, okay.
So you ever watch that show? Do you?
No.
No.
No. Okay. I just I try to avoid reality TV like the plague, but I know that it's a very important show for some friends of mine. So
okay, reality TV.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah. Anyway, it was better. It used to be so much better. I still watch because I hope it will get back to what it used to be. But it is a better show for the people who are participating, which is really the more important aspect of it. But as a, you know, rotten, terrible, horrible American, I wanted to go back to the days where it was much more cutthroat. I know that makes me a bad person, but, you know, that's the way I feel. But I still watch it. I still enjoy it. It is very interesting to see these people take these journeys, you know, of getting healthy and kind of, you know, trying to turn their life around and. You know, and it's good. There are some powerful, powerful stories. So, yeah, I enjoy that. I'm not ashamed to say I watch reality television. I don't watch it all, but there are some. And The Biggest Loser is one that every season when it comes out, we start watching. We may or may not make it to the end of every season because, like I said, it's gotten a lot less interesting when it got a lot less cutthroat. But we always start it. It just depends on how far we make it through. And I think that about wraps it up for me, sir. So what do you got?
Well, I see your three movies and I'm going to raise you one because I've watched four in the last
two weeks.
All right. So the first movie I'm going to talk about has Professor X, Smog and Khan, Dr. Carol Marcus, Howard Stark. I didn't look up her name, but the female doctor from Iron Man 3, and am I missing someone? No, I think that's it. Starter for 10 is a British romantic comedy about what it was like to go to college in the 80s in Great Britain, starring James McAvoy as a kid who used to watch University Challenge, which I guess is like a British version of Jeopardy, even though it's college students and they're like in the like quiz bowl type things.
Okay.
And so he ends up getting on the quiz bowl team, and he has Alice Eve is like the hot girl on the team, and so they start, you know, they start going out. But you know, things fall apart, and you know, it, spoiler alert, he ends up with Rebecca Hall and not Alice Eve. But it was a nice, you know, it was a light, enjoyable romantic comedy. Benedict Cumberbatch is great as the anal trivia bowl captain or quiz bowl captain. But it was just the confluence of all these actors that have been in a lot of superhero or science fiction movies.
It was
kind of cool, even though I had the look on the box that really was Dominic Cooper, because it didn't really seem like him. You know, Howard Stark, he's
right,
the actor,
right,
who played in the Captain Americas. Okay, so I enjoyed it. It's definitely worth watching. It's not the Great American Love Story or anything, and you probably are going to see the ending coming. But I definitely enjoyed it.
Now, did you library this?
Library. These are all library.
Okay.
These are all library. The one Netflix disc that I have on my desk right now is Time Crimes, which I've had for over a month, and I haven't watched it yet. And now I think about it, I don't know where the disc is. So, anyways. So, yes. And I am a DSL customer, so watching Netflix takes me a while to watch a movie. So, I usually just... Lately, I've just been doing... the library, and I'm realizing that there's probably a stack of 12-15 movies that are sitting on my desk that I need to watch after I've purchased them, kind of like Looper or season one of Game of Thrones or the 10-disc set of Mel Brooks movies that I haven't really watched a whole lot of them. So,
or Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Well, no. Okay. So I understand. I understand. Okay, movie number two was another independent movie. It's called Struck by Lightning. It was written by Chris Colfer, who was, I haven't watched it in a while, but he plays Kurt on Glee. And
okay.
He wrote the screenplay to this movie.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this when it originally came out, when it was originally released.
Yes.
It was a digital release, I believe, originally.
Originally, I think it was it might have been VOD, because it probably came out in three or four screens. But the library had it, so I got my hands on the DVD, and my daughter and I, we watched it. We both loved it. It's not the greatest story. It's basically about a guy who gets, you know, he's kind of an outsider through high school, and... In the very beginning of the movie, and it's in the trailer, he gets struck dead by lightning.
Yeah.
And the movie's basically a flashback of all the things that happened that were happening in his life, up until his untimely death. Also stars Rebel Wilson. Allison Janney plays the single mom. Dermot Mulroney plays the dad that basically abandons the both of them, and he has a new wife, played by Christina Hendricks. So that's kind of an awkward little family. I just forgot her name. Oh, Sarah Hyland from Modern Family plays the head cheerleader. There are probably some other faces. It's not that dark of comedy, but it might be black comedy, because it's a tragic story. But it's funny.
Yeah.
There are some good lines in it. It's another hour and a half movie. I would definitely recommend seeing it if you can get it through Redbox or rent it or something.
Right, right.
Okay.
No, yeah, I was definitely interested in that, and I think Brittany would be as well.
Yeah.
And you know, you say it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the greatest thing, but you got to remember this is a freshman effort. So
right. Right. He didn't direct it. They had a full fledged director help him with
right.
it, but. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of really good independent movies that are out there, and I'm just grateful that, you know, that right next door to my office is the library where I can get a lot of these movies, because I don't think I would have seen this if I had to track it down on Netflix or Amazon Prime or,
right, or right.
those other alternative venues. Okay, movie number three. That ends the romantic comedy portion of the four movies. Next, I saw Transcendence.
Okay, do you remember? This is what I want to hear about. Okay. Yeah, I know what
Transcendence
is.
Now, this was kind of going along the theme of Her, about the role of technology and, you know, its growing role in everyday life, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really more about evil AI than Her was just kind of like, a, you know, how we treat AI in our society.
Right.
I mean, it's more of a social commentary than this is more of doom and gloom kind of thing.
Right, right, yeah.
Comparatively speaking, I would have to say that I enjoyed Her more than Transcendence.
Okay.
Because there are certain things in the story that I think happen just so they can kind of set up some really cool visual shots.
Okay.
There were some good performances, but I don't know. It's just that there are a lot of leaps that I thought were made, and I understand that, you know, they're telling a cinematic story here. They're not going for something that could really happen. But I don't know. It just got a little too ridiculous for me. It's definitely worth watching, but, you know, definitely see Struck by Lightning or Started for 10 before this one. I mean, it was...
Yeah, I'm not even really interested. I was interested to hear what you had to say about it, but it's not anything I would go out of my way to see.
Yeah, I mean, there are some good, I don't want to say dialogue, but some good concepts that, I guess in the world of AI, it's easier to copy an intelligence than create one. And that's kind of a reference on, you know, they just want to synchronize Johnny Depp into a computer. And then there's a part of the movie where you're not, because, you know, he's the foremost expert on artificial intelligence. And so he has a neural network built that's kind of like a baby HAL. But when they transfer him into the neural network, there's kind of a question, is it really him or is it the neural network?
Right.
And do we want to hook him to the internet or do we not want to hook him to the internet? But it's got a good cast. Morgan Freeman is in a minor role. I just forgot his name. Oh, Paul Bettany, who is going to be Vision in Avengers.
Love Paul Bettany.
He was. I think he was a little underused in this movie, but he was still good. All right, now let's go to the fourth of four movies, Elysium.
Oh,
do you
my
remember
goodness.
Elysium?
All
right. All right,
Elysium. Oh, yeah, no. I'm on a movie podcast. Of course I remember Elysium.
Okay, I'm just making sure, man. Just making sure. Okay, I enjoyed this movie, but I thought it could have been so much better. So much better, and they didn't have enough time to make this movie. And I don't know if they did it 3.5 hours, I don't know if that still would be enough time. I wanted them to be 100% on the space station because it looked cool.
Right.
I mean, I understand, you know, you're trying to tell this allegory about the 1% on the space station and the 99% stay on Earth. But, you know, it's just that there were certain bullet points that they were going to hit, no pun intended. But it seemed like they didn't have, if it didn't have the bullet point on their outline, that it wasn't going to get talked about in the movie. Like, we don't really know a lot about Matt Damon's character. I thought that Charlton Copley could, you know, I think he kind of got short shrift as far as the story was concerned, because he was definitely a cool character, but you don't know enough about him. They kind of just, like, you know, throw the chess pieces out and watch him without any, you know, backstory or anything.
Right.
At least that's how I felt. Jodie Foster, I don't know why they had to make her French, but I don't think she can do a French accent very well.
Yeah, I don't know why they do things like that.
I don't know. There was just some odd choices. The action was definitely great. They had these robot policemen that were, I mean, reminded me of the Terminators in the Terminator Salvation. The one with Christian Bale.
Okay. Right. I didn't see it. I remember
Yeah.
the.
Well, there's a couple good action scenes where they're pretty, menacing kind of thing. So I thought that they had a lot of really good actors in this movie, but it just feels like they were wasted because because there wasn't enough time to really have them do a lot of interesting things.
Right. This would have been better served as like a HBO miniseries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a mini series I thought, where they can spend a little more time, I think, world building,
Right.
and maybe tell us about, who's be, because there's kind of some references to the corporation, kind of like, there was a couple of times where I thought that there were some homages to Aliens. I almost expected, the corporate logo to say Weyland-Yutani, which was the corporation and, Alien and the Alien
Yeah.
franchise. And Krueger, who is the big bad guy, he his two underlings are Drake and Crow, which were names of two Marines in Aliens,
Interesting.
which might. It might just be a coincidence, and probably an Aliens fan reading too much into it. But I still remember that. But and there was one part of this movie that I'm not going to say what happened, but I had to watch it 3 times because I had to make sure, did I just see what I saw? And after you see Elysium, we'll talk about what that was.
Okay.
All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4 movies. That's how I spent my 2 weeks, and I'm halfway through Godzilla, so I will talk about Godzilla next week. As far as TV, I might be one behind of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The last
Okay.
episode I saw was they introduced Mockingbird.
Now then you're two. Oh, no, you're right. You're only one behind because they were skipping a week, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did another Marvel infomercial on Tuesday.
Right. So actually, I am all caught up
Okay.
because I have seen the episode past the introduction of Mockingbird.
And then
Mockingbird.
I'm at the exact same spot for Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. When Mockingbird came on screen and really became Mockingbird, Brittany was like, "Who is that? She's pretty cool." And I was like, "Oh, I know who
Yeah.
that is."
Yeah. And she was supposed to be Wonder Woman, but that never happened.
Oh, that's sad. She could have done Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. And I think Rebels and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are really the only two shows
Yeah,
that I
the
know
only
you
thing I'm
watch
watching
too.
really is, yep.
I'm also one episode behind on Walking Dead. I don't think you care about that. So, anyways,
Oh, you know what? I do want to ask you, where are you at with Almost Human? Have you finished it up? Do you
I just finished the second to the last episode.
Okay.
So
So
I
I've
have
been
the last, I still have the last one to watch.
okay. So I have been remaking this note each week on my paper to talk to you about, well, let's just throw it out there, The Wall. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm thinking back on the entire series, all right? And I do not ever remember any mention of The Wall up until the episode where the cast says The Wall in quotation marks like a dozen times. Like we're supposed to understand completely and totally what The Wall is. Did that bother you at all?
No.
Do you remember specifically what I'm talking about?
They actually showed it.
They did right at the very end of the last episode of that episode where they were talking about it,
Well,
or they
no.
showed more of
I think the one episode where it kind of was talked about was the one with Dorian's creator.
Right, yeah, with
Yeah.
John Larroquette, and
Yes.
then what's the
Yes.
name as the but I was just talking about the introduction of the premise. You
Right.
know, they couldn't have given us a little more foreshadowing on that. It felt so kind of forced. Like all of a sudden, this expansive world we believe we're in, well, there's this big chunk of it that is off limits, that has never come up before until this one particular moment.
Yeah, I feel like that they made passing mentions to it in other episodes, though.
Okay, maybe they did. I felt like it smacked me out of the blue.
I feel like
wrote
they
it down
had,
and I was waiting till I knew you were past that point to bring it up.
Yeah, I feel like that they had to talk to somebody that was on the other side of the wall or something like that. But
I don't remember, and now we'll never know. No.
Yeah, well, you know,
I think at some point this is going to come out on DVD, and I'm going to buy it because I enjoyed it that much, and I am so, so sad that it never went anywhere. And then I will lend it to people and say, look, this was awesome, and they killed it.
Well, you know what's funny is I had that same methodology, and there was someone at the office that I basically wanted to get her into the circle of Wonderfalls fandom.
Okay.
And so I gave her the box set, and she says, you know, unless it's on Netflix, I have a hard time watching it.
Oh,
I said,
okay. Well,
yeah.
So. That's the way some people are. Yeah. I've got a buddy named Chris, and he's I think he's like 2 years older than me, maybe three, but he's got a younger brother who's exactly my age. And so he gets all of my references, all of he chuckles at, you know, because we are on the same page. Like, mm-hmm. you know, every time I am prone to random quoting of music lyrics,
okay.
you know, when it is appropriate to the situation, when we're in some type of situation and there is a musical lyric that is appropriate to the moment, I will quote it, or sometimes I will sing it. And Chris is always the one who gets every reference I make, or a reference to some old cartoon or some old TV show or some old movie. Chris is always right on it and always gets my references, except for when it came to Firefly. And I'm like, dude, how have you not seen Firefly? I'm like, and I have two sets of DVDs. I'm like, here, take these DVDs and go watch them. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, he brought them back. And he's like, thank you very much. That was incredibly awesome. I said, I knew you would love it, because you are on the same page with me with everything I reference. So I will be buying Almost Human, and I will be sharing it with people, at least the people who I think will enjoy it. And be like, here, this was good, and it died, but it needs to be seen by people.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that is enough for share time, so now let's talk about news. Art, what news do you have for us?
Okay, so the very first thing that caught my eye, Mark Wahlberg will star in a rename of The $6 Million Man. So they are bringing back The $6 Million Man. Mark Wahlberg looks like he is going to be the guy. And this has me interested because, you know what? I enjoyed that show as a kid. I did not, The Bionic Woman never did it for me. The Bionic Woman reboot, that was a big flop. And that went nowhere. But I would be interested to see what they're going to do with The $6 Million Man.
Okay, I read the article for this thing.
Okay.
And they made it a point in saying that it's The $6 Billion Man. I don't know why that's different. I mean, if they're trying to keep it real. I mean, I don't know the difference between million and billion, but, you know.
$6 billion seems a little excessive. Yeah, I didn't see that all the way down at the bottom of the article. Yeah. They could have went with The $60 Million Man, maybe The $600 Million Man.
Right, yeah.
But $6 billion seems a bit much. I mean, for $1 billion, I feel like we could go into space. Or we could make one man better.
You always think about, well, wouldn't it be better if we had like 3 $2 billion mans than one $6 billion? I mean, it's just more government waste if you really want to talk about it.
Wait. It should be, you know, $10 billion man. You should have 6 $1 billion men.
Or,
I would totally be down with that. You know, just they'd be like a, you know.
Or do it like Ninja Turtles, have 4 $1.5 billion. You want to, you know,
that's
you
just
do it that
complicated.
Way.
You've,
yeah, well, hey, you know, when you've been looking at box office results, then, you know, why make it 0.5?
Well, yeah, 1.5.
Or, you know, get the power steering, make it a 0.6. Anyways, so, yeah.
No,
all right.
What do you get, sir?
Okay. I am going to go with The Hateful Eight.
Okay.
The full cast has been announced for The Hateful Eight, and if you're wondering what The Hateful Eight is, it's a post-Civil War Western that Tarantino is that's going to be his next movie. There was a big problem because Gawker leaked the script, and so he basically had to go back to square one as far as what the script's gonna be. But you know, there's gonna be shooting. So I mean, what else do you really need to know? But here's the full cast. We have Samuel L. Jackson will play Major Marquis Warren. Kurt Russell will play John the Hangman Ruth. Jennifer Jason Leigh will play Daisy Domergue. Walton Goggins, who was in Django Unchained, will be Chris Mannix. Hopefully he's not the great-great-great-grandfather of the Mannix TV show, but we'll see. Jamie Foxx was supposed to be the great-great-grandfather of Shaft, so who knows what will happen. Some guy, I have no idea who it is, Demian Bashir is going to be Bob. Tim Roth is going to be Oswaldo Mowbray. Michael Madsen is Joe Gage, and Bruce Dern will be General Sanford Smithers. And the ninth person cast, who nobody knows who he's going to be, but Channing Tatum has broken the barrier here and is going to be in a Tarantino movie. So we'll see how this is going to be. I love Westerns, and I'm a Tarantino fan, so I'm excited about this, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, since you mentioned something being leaked, I will go with my next story. Marvel is ready to go to war with Google over the Avengers 2 leak. So they were good sports about it. You know, they played it up. We talked about how, you know, they blamed Hydra on the leak and then released their own high-definition trailer, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's saying now that the dust has settled, The Hollywood Reporter notes that Marvel is tracking the leak back to Google and is going through the courts to obtain information about a user named John Gazelle who posted the stolen file to Google Drive. So they are, you know, looking to take this seriously and track down how this thing got out and maybe put the screws to somebody. So I think that's kind of interesting because the article goes on to say it seems a little out of proportion because it's something they were going to release themselves for free in another week or so, whatever the timeline was. So they think they're being a little heavy-handed, but that's what they're doing, and they're not playing around. So somebody may lose their job.
Or more.
Or more, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's transition over to DC for a little bit. So are you curious at all about the first Wonder Woman movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so I found on bleedingcool.com that DC and Warner Brothers is saying that the first Wonder Woman movie is going to be set in the 1920s.
Okay.
And then its sequel will be set during World War II. So you got to wonder if they're trying to go for the same thing that Captain America did.
Right.
Showing up, you know, kind of a superhero in a previous era.
Yeah. The 20s seems like a long way to go back, though.
Right.
I would have rather, I mean, if you're going to go back, she is a character who has her, roots in the kind of Greco-Roman type, you know, go back that far. Tell something, you know, maybe in Themyscira about, you know, maybe her creation, or I don't know, you know, but the 20s just seems like an odd choice, I guess.
Well, here, let me read what it says here. It says the film will spend the first half on Paradise Island with warring Amazon factions vying for control.
Okay.
Then an arrival of a man on the island changes the status quo as he asks the Amazons for help. Because when Wonder Woman joins him on his return to the world of man, we discover that's the 1920s. And the film will then show Diana exploring that world, a world where women had only just got the vote. from her, let's say, unique perspective. A planned sequel would then take place during World War II in the 30s and 40s. This, of course, was the period that the 70s TV show began in before shifting to then modern day. And then a threequel would take place in the modern day with Justice League of America.
Okay. Well, that has me a little more interested. And that's not to say I wasn't at all interested in the first place. I want to see a really good Wonder Woman movie. I want to, you know, I want a good, you know, female character, strong role model, you know, comic character out there in the forefront. So yeah, that has me interested even more so.
Okay, Art, your turn.
Okay, so the trailer for this week will be the first full Into the Woods trailer. This thing is everywhere. It was the cover of it was four covers of Entertainment Weekly 2 weeks ago. One of the most interesting little tidbits I pulled recently, and I actually got to drop on the table when I was hanging out with some people the other night, was that Johnny Depp's wolf character is based on the old Tex Avery wolf, the Zoot Suit wolf, and I thought that was an interesting kind of homage. So I am getting more and more interested in this. You know, the whole retelling of fairy tales is all the rage now. So this trailer is something I'll be watching and reporting on next week.
All right. And on a side note, speaking of trailers, Reddit is saying that there is a trailer for the next Iron Sky movie, where apparently there is Hitler Rides a Dinosaur. So if that's something you're interested in, please go check it out. And I also, thanks to Facebook, my son and I on Tuesday watched the teaser trailer for the Minions movie, the Minions from Despicable Me.
Right.
So
okay.
He's really excited about that.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's it as far as trailers. Okay, my last news story has to do with Marvel. And I don't think we talked about it, but they announced what movies are going to be coming out up until 2019.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go down the list here. Obviously, we have May 1st, 2015, The Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yep.
And since we're talking about Avengers Age of Ultron and spoilers, did you hear that Idris Elba got in big trouble?
No, I did not.
Apparently, he talked about that he's doing some additional work for Marvel. I don't know if you want to hear about it, but
no, it doesn't bother me.
Apparently Heimdall is in the second Avengers.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's not something that they wanted released, and I guess that Elba is not very enthused about coming back as Heimdall.
Oh.
Because he was emotionally drained from Mandela.
Okay.
And having to go on a green screen in front of wires and kind of thing. I don't know. He sounds like he's getting tired of Heimdall. But anyways, okay. So, and since you are such a huge fan of Idris Elba, I thought you might like to hear that.
I like Idris Elba. I'm just saying there are other black actors out there.
I'm just ribbing you, man. Don't worry about it. Okay. Next, July 17th, 2015. Ant-Man. Okay, May 6, 2016, Captain America, Civil War.
Nice.
November 4th, 2016, basically 2 years from Tuesday, Doctor Strange. May 5th, 2017, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Mm-hmm.
Not soon enough. By the way, Guardians of the Galaxy Blu-ray and DVD comes out on December 9th, 2014. July 28th, 2017.
Wait. I have to write that down because you know what? No, seriously. Brittany has been bugging me for a Christmas gift. I'm like, really, I don't need anything. Okay. I need Guardians of the Galaxy.
And July 28th, 2017, right smack dab in the middle of summer. Well, that's probably Thor Ragnarok.
Interesting.
Or Thor 3, if you want to.
Right.
November 3rd, 2017, Chadwick Boseman in Black Panther.
Oh, Who is that?
He, I've been telling everybody, James Brown, they got James Brown to play Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
Or Jackie Robinson.
Or Jackie Robinson, yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That, I was just making that connection in my head before you said it. Okay.
May 4th, 2018, The Avengers Infinity War. So basically Avengers 3, wait for it, part 1. So they're going to split Avengers 3 into two movies.
That's fine. The Infinity War is a big, epic, huge thing. I could see that.
July 6th, 2018, Captain Marvel.
That's interesting.
November 2nd, 2018, Inhumans.
Nice.
And then May 3rd, 2019, The Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
Okay, that is... Man, it is a good time to be a geeky comic book movie nerd person.
And that was my last story, so take us out.
I'm going to say we go out on that note. I mean, all right. How do you, I'm not going to follow that up.
Okay, well, everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. And go see a movie, and we will catch you next time.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.